Hello, this is Mark Richter with another episode of Linux for the Layman. Want to feel safe, secure, and capable when using your computer? This is for you if you want to succeed and know you can handle your computer tasks with ease. Greetings, and welcome to episode 27 of Linux for the Layman. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about server administration, but before I do that, I received some feedback on the last episode where I talked about backups. It was recovering from disaster where I had a solid-state drive that did not behave as well as I would have liked and failed with less than 4 months of service time. In that episode, I said that you could back up your hard drives every week or every month. A gentleman wrote in to me saying that he has a regular practice of doing daily backups. He backups all of his data files, he backups using Clonezilla, his boot drive, and some other things. I don't have a hard and fast recommendation on the timing of your backups. If you are doing daily work, then daily backups would be a good idea. If you're doing daily work, but you're not concerned so much about the daily work you do, you just want to make sure that you have some kind of disaster recovery available in case the system goes down, something like what I had going on. To be perfectly honest, it wasn't a total disaster. I was able to read the files off the disk that failed. I just couldn't do any more writing to it. To me, that's a disaster because that means I can't function. A lot of programs won't work. Anything that requires writing to a temporary file on the drive that's failed can't be done. And although this was my home drive and not my root drive, that still prevented me from doing things like opening any of my LibreOffice files. My spreadsheets were locked up. My documents were locked up. They were available for me to read and recover, but I couldn't do any new work on them. Given the amount of daily work I do, a lot of which is not seriously significant or not backed up in some other way, it still was a huge blow to me in those terms, and so I considered it to be a disaster. Technically, it probably doesn't really qualify as one. I was able to recover from it. I have a new home drive. I received yesterday the exchange for the defective drive from the manufacturer. Kudos to them. That was the perspective from which I was approaching the subject. In terms of recommended backups, like I said, if you daily do work that you don't want to lose, backups on a daily basis are a good idea. One of the issues with frequent backups of that nature is where you do your backup to. I use a hard drive that I disconnect from the machine and only plug it in when I want to do a backup. And in that case, backups more often than once a week or even once a month are going to wear down the backup drive. If, on the other hand, you have an intelligent backup system and you backup, say, to a cloud backup, if you trust your cloud backup service provider, you can do backups every 5 minutes. The hardware will be taken care of by the cloud service provider. Or you can do it less frequently. Perhaps there's a limitation on how much data you can transfer back and forth to the cloud on a daily basis. There are lots of considerations to take into consideration. For me, backing up once a week is usually sufficient. Backing up once a month is kind of mandatory. Failing to do that is asking for a disaster, and I have done that many times. The last time I had to replace a disk drive because it was failing, there were a number of files that stopped reading properly. I did have a backup. I was able to restore all the files from the backup, and those are things that need to be considered in terms of a backup strategy. More on today's subject. I did receive an email from another listener who asked me if I could go over some of the aspects of Linux administration. Now, I have a novice certificate in Linux administration, and I do not consider myself a professional Linux administrator by any means. I could go into that if I wanted to. I have certain considerations. That isn't something that I particularly enjoy doing, as opposed to this podcast or actual software development in the languages with which I'm familiar. To become a Linux administrator, I would say the number one skill you must have is the ability to function well with the command line. Get used to running in a virtual terminal. Get used to using the command line commands for pretty much everything. Now, that's a basic. If you want to administer your own Linux systems, for example, you just want to be able to run Ubuntu and do the basic minimum administration, you can probably get by without staggeringly complex or competent administration via the command line, because there are a lot of administrative commands that you can do using the GUI. In Xubuntu, for example, when I click the menu button, there's an entity on it for settings, and a lot of those settings have to do with administering your system. If you want to use that for the purpose of administering your system, it would be extremely wise to become familiar with all of the settings apps. They let you do most everything you need to do, even as a novice administrator, fairly easily with the graphics interface, so you can get visual cues, you can get help by hovering over various pieces, and there, of course, is almost always a help entity on the menu bar, so you can look up what you want. And of course, there's always the ultimate reference tool, your web search. Be aware there are a lot of bad entries that you'll find in a web search. You want to stick to reliable sources like RPM Forge. Stack Exchange is pretty good, although it's also cluttered with a lot of junk. And the man pages from your particular distribution provider, which will tend to be command line oriented, but they will tell you what they can do. And you can always ask questions. For example, if you belong to Ubuntu One because you use Ubuntu, that's a place where you can get your questions answered as well. To become good at doing this, I, again, highly urge you to become familiar with the command line. Most system administration is done from the command line because of its power and because of its relative simplicity once you are familiar with it. Now, that includes becoming familiar with things like shell scripts. Shell scripts are a lifeblood of system administration, and if you don't even know how to read them, you may have to trust that what you're doing is right because you looked it up and someone said so. However, it is better to become familiar with shell scripts. So learn the command line, learn to read and write shell scripts. Bash shell scripts can be very complicated. Even the POSIX shell scripts can be very complicated because the shell has a fairly powerful scripting language. There are lots of things you can do. For example, and I think I mentioned this before, I have an alias for a command that I use to back up the contents of a particular flash drive I use a lot every time I use it, because the files I keep on the flash drive are not generally stored anywhere else. I have backup directories located for that specific purpose. This three-letter alias says backup the flash drive, and it only backs up what has been changed. It deletes anything that has been removed from the flash drive so the backup doesn't get cluttered up. And it is restricted in that there are a couple of directories on the flash drive that I never back up because, for example, my music directory. I have my music directory backed up in several places, and it's huge. I don't have that much on the flash drive, but it's enough that I don't really want to back it up on a regular basis. For example, I'm going to do a command right now that tells me how much space I have in it. My music directory is 859 megabytes. That's a lot. My Linux directory on this flash drive is 1.3 gigabytes, which is a huge amount, but it also includes several Linux distribution DVD images. So I expect it to be large. And nothing else on the flash drive is anywhere near that big. Now, this three-letter abbreviation saves me the trouble of typing in the five-letter name of the command that it executes. That command is a shell script that includes two other commands that are also shell scripts, because each of them has a specific part to play in the process of backing this thing up. One of them deletes all the entries that have been removed from the flash drive. They're deleted from the backup, so they don't clutter up the backup, as I said. And another one does something else that I don't even remember offhand, but I know that it was important that I put it in there. So I have these three shell scripts, one of which is activated by this three-letter alias. There's another area you might want to become familiar with as a Linux administrator: aliases and functions. Shell aliases and shell functions. A shell alias is an abbreviation for some other command. The nice thing about aliases is that you can string a bunch of commands together in a single alias, as long as they do not require any substitution of other entities you put on the command line. For example, alias is ABC, and you want to type ABC XYZ PQR. Those XYZ and PQR should not be something that has to be substituted in the middle of the alias. That doesn't work very well. That's what you use functions for, because a shell function is a piece of programming that can take parameters and substitute them where you need them, rather than just at the end of the command. One of my favorite aliases I talk about a lot, it's an alias for running rsync with a specific set of parameters. Rsync is the remote synchronization backup tool. It is best used for copying files from one place to another, where you only want to copy something that's newer. You want it to skip anything that's already there, has been backed up, and is the most recent. My alias includes six options to the rsync command, and it excludes my cache files, and it excludes my thumbnails, because I don't want them copied pretty much any time I want to do a file copy, whether it's to a different directory on the same machine, to a different machine that may be my backup, it may be my partner's machine. It can be any other machine, as long as I know where it's going and I know roughly where I want it to land. The alias is five letters long. The command itself is more like 80 characters. No, it's not that long. It's about 40. But it's a lot of things to remember that I don't feel like remembering, because I know I want them to do the same thing every time. Aliases are good for that. Functions can be good for that if it's a function that requires substituting something in the middle of the commands. To review really quickly, what I said was become familiar with the command line, become familiar with shell scripting, learn about aliases, and learn about functions. That's the bottom basic minimum requirements to do Linux administration from the command line. And you can do a lot more Linux administration from the command line than from anywhere in the graphics utilities. I hope you found this educational. I hope you enjoyed it. Maybe you got a chuckle out of it somewhere. Please tell me if you have a question. Tell me if you enjoyed this. If you like what you heard and you think other people might benefit from it, refer this podcast to them. This is free, and it will be for as long as I can afford to do it. And let me say, don't let that stop you from contributing. Every little bit helps. I will see you in the next episode of Linux for the Naaman. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye for now.